right. Well, thanks for allowing us to be here with you all again. It's been a blessing. Thank you, Pastor, for all the blessings you've already been to us. It's been a blessing to be here and just share more about our ministry and what we're doing with you. And I look forward to doing that throughout the week and working with the children. Going to invite you to turn to the book of Acts. So you said 50 minutes, right? No, just kidding. Okay. Okay. So Acts chapter 26, let's start reading in verse 14, and then we'll talk a little bit about this chapter and this area of Scripture. Acts chapter 26, verse 14, the Bible says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick." So here we have Paul, his testimony here before King Agrippa of how the Lord worked in his life and what happened in his transformation. We've been talking about remembering your transformation, and here's Paul. He obviously never forgot about it. He knew what God did in his life and the transformation that happened in his life, and he's here talking to King Agrippa about it here. Verse 15, he continues on and says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." I'm going to talk about how God emphasizes turning from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Our world is in bondage. We see what's going on in our world, and over the last few years, if you're like me, sometimes you watch what's happening in our big cities, even in some small cities, and the sinfulness of man and the way our world is going, and it's disgusting, and we should have a disgust for sin. But we have to be careful that our hatred and disgust for sin doesn't transfer over to the sinner. And we have to be careful we're not doing that. We see what's happening in our, and I thought about that with Portland, Oregon. You see what's happening in Portland, Oregon, and we have a hatred towards people doing some of those things. And it's not just in the Northwest. It's all throughout our cities, all throughout our country. And we can get mad at the way people are acting, and that can transfer over to actually being showing hatred towards them. But we see in our scripture here in verse 18, he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. This world is under the power of Satan. And first, I want to see in this text a powerful conversion in Paul's life. Paul's powerful conversion. If we look in our in this chapter, chapter 26, verse 8, let's start there. He's talking to King Agrippa. King Agrippa, the first part of the chapter, talks about how he's given permission to speak for himself. And in verse 8, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought that with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." Paul was not somebody you wanted to mess with if you were a Christian, if you were a believer. You wanted to stay away from him, and he's basically saying, this is what I was purposed to do in my life. And it goes on in verse 11, "And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." I thought that's interesting in that verse. He says, exceeding mad against them. And just like that, that's the world's thought towards us as Christians, being exceeding mad against us. And we got to be careful that we're not being just like the world, being exceedingly mad against sinners. We got to be careful about that. Goes on here, verse 12, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. There was a powerful transformation in Paul's life. A life of just wanting to do everything against Jesus Christ. I haven't come across many people like that, that just say, you know what I'm out to do? What I'm out to do is just anything for Jesus. I'm against it. There's people that don't like what we believe in and don't like the things of Jesus, but to be like, that's my purpose in life. And I've met one person out door to door one time, and that was, they're part of some organization and satanic organization that they said they're out to destroy and tear down everything that Jesus has built up in this country. And I was just like, wow, there are people in this country that are like that. But we have to understand the word of God and the gospel of God is powerful. There's no limits to it. Sometimes we put God in a box and we put labels on people because of the way they act, the way they're living, and their actions, and we think, they're not going to trust Jesus Christ. And we don't even take time to even try and share the gospel with them. We have to remember the gospel of God is powerful to convert a life. We see Paul's purposeful conversion in verse 16 of our text. Here he's talking about what Jesus told him on the road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him. It says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. And he goes on to say, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Why is he sent to these people? Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Christians, we have to understand that we have a purpose. We aren't saved just to sit in a pew and kind of just go along our regular life. There should be a change in our purpose of life. Paul talked about that. What was his purpose? He thought his purpose before this encounter with Jesus, his purpose was to persecute Christians, to basically tear down what Jesus was trying to build here on earth. And obviously that changed. And he had a new purpose in life. And once you get saved, praise the Lord, you have a new direction, a new purpose to live for. And God wants to use you for that purpose. He talks about a couple reasons of this purpose. And it says, to make thee a minister. A minister is a servant, basically, a servant. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Amen? Jesus Christ gave his life for us, and we are bought with a price to serve the Lord. Matthew 20, 27 and 28, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That was Jesus' purpose, to give his life and be a minister to the world around him. And we are to be just like Christ. We are, if you are saved, you are to be ministering to the world around you, to be serving and trying to share the love of Christ, the love of Jesus with them. We have a purpose to be a minister. He talks about to be a witness as well. He says to be a minister and a witness of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. A witness, as you would think about it, is someone who has experienced or seen something. We talk about an eyewitness when it comes to a crime, and they have information that they have seen that only they can talk about. They have the information. Well, all of us, if you're saved, you've seen God do something in your life. Amen. You've seen him do a transformation in your life, and you have something to witness about. I always tell people the most important and powerful tool you have in sharing the gospel isn't having a four-point sermon and having all these things alliterated outline to share with people at the door. It's just sharing your testimony, what Christ did in your life. That's one of the most powerful things you have. We also see, and that's what it takes me to my third point, is Paul's personal testimony we see here. That's basically what Paul is doing throughout this whole chapter. If you read about it, he talks about in verse 1 of the chapter, says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He's basically saying, all right, Paul, here you go. You can speak for yourself. And Paul just talks about his life and how, where he came from and how he was a Pharisee and the way he lived his life, and just talks about where the Lord brought him from. And in verse 26, for the king knowest of these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Talking about his life. The king Agrippa, you know me. You've heard about me and the way I've been living my life for the Lord. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. One of the most saddest verses in the Bible. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But you see, Paul wasn't taking a moment here to talk before King Agrippa to be like, all right, I got time to speak about myself. No, he pointed him towards Jesus. And his purpose, was given an opportunity to witness before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa knew the scripture. He even believed the scriptures. They're talking about the Old Testament. And you see, a lot of the battles we're fighting nowadays isn't a lot of what people believe this and that. It all comes down to what the battle was back in the Bible days. And that battle wasn't about, do you believe the scriptures as far as the Old Testament, but do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? You read about and you look at what's going on here. When it comes to Jesus Christ, people, there's a wall that pops up and there's a battle going on with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have to understand that salvation can have a powerful transformation in anybody's life, or in your life, but in your neighbor's life, in your coworker's life. Wherever you go, there can be a powerful transformation to happen because the gospel can do that. If we look at verse 18, and I'll finish here, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I see in this verse that there's a darkness, and we're called to turn them from darkness to light. But we have to see that they're blinded. That's why the very first part of this verse, to open their eyes. The way the world is acting, why do we stand amazed and shocked? They're living in sin. They're just doing what they know how to do. I tell people, I witnessed when I was a teenager to on a VBS to a young boy and a girl, brother and sister, probably age 8 or 9. And I tried to witness to them. They wanted to know about salvation. And so I tried to get some, you know, what they knew about the Bible. They knew nothing about Jesus. So I talked about, you know, Noah and the ark. You know, you've heard about that. They've never heard about Noah and the ark. Adam and Eve. All these familiar stories that we think most people knew, and they had no idea about those things. Now, that was 20 years ago or more that happened. These people, these young boys and girls that are 8 and 9, now they're 28, 29, 30. They're having kids of their own. And so we have people in our society that are being brought up in an ungodly home, in an ungodly society. They have no influence of the Word of God in their life. They have no idea who Adam and Eve is, and Noah and the Ark, and Jesus, and Jonah in the well, none of these stories. And so they're living life based upon what media is putting out there, what society is putting out there, what Disney's putting out there, and saying, I got to live life for myself and do what I want to do. And we should not be surprised the way our world is acting, but we have to understand that we need to have the love of God towards them, that everybody needs to hear about Jesus Christ, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And then it says, from the power of Satan unto God. From the power of Satan unto God. I thought it was interesting. It doesn't say from the power of Satan unto the power of God, but it says from the power of Satan unto God. You see, the world is in bondage to sin. They think they have freedom by doing what they want to do and living of their flesh and of their lusts of the flesh, but they're in bondage. And we have freedom in Christ. John 8:36 says, if the Son thereof shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There is freedom. There's bondage in Satan. There's bondage in self and in sin, but there's freedom in Christ. God does give us his power, but he doesn't force it upon us. God loves you and wants to see everybody saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the... No, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to see everybody saved. Don't put God in a box. Don't think God doesn't have the power to save those people that are acting outrageous in your society, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, those people that are you just want to stay away from. Jesus loved them and died on the cross for them and wants to see them saved. God wants to do a powerful work in our world, in our country, and he can if us Christians will get on board and to get the gospel out there and preach the word of God to the world around us. You have a circle of influence that you can impact that I can't. I have a circle of influence that I can impact that you can't. But if we all work together, we can reach this world for Christ. God wants to see everyone come to know him as a Savior. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, Lord, to help us to have a love for the world around us and see that, yes, this world is acting in a way that can bring disgust and hatred towards them. But Lord, help us to have the love of Christ, Lord. It's something we don't understand, we can't comprehend, Lord, and we can't have that love towards them without you, Lord. We need your help to help give us that passion, that compassion and love to the world around us to impact them for eternity, Lord. Don't help us not to put you in a box, but to have the love of Christ for the world around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.